So here we are. We are out here at the border of Nevada and California, heading towards the Hoover Dam.
We decided to try out the maps, new Apple Maps application on our drive. Just a little tech bacon experiment.
It's beautiful country out here.
Gorgeous.
This map seems to be putting us in the right direction.
We have the flyover view on. Everything looks perfect. We see a beautiful view of the Hoover Dam before we get there. So we're about to drive through.
Here we are on the Hoover Dam. This is okay.
Jamie, wait, take a left turn. No, Jamie, don't. What are you doing?
I'm
what are you
following
doing?
The map.
No, we're going to go into the Hoover Dam.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about technology, entertainment,
and random foodstuffs.
We're your hosts.
I'm Scott Gold.
I'm Jamie Dooner.
And this is episode number
59.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Bacon. I'm Scott.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Jamie.
And we're all washed up over here.
Damn.
Wow, you one up my bad pun with an even worse pun.
I know. We're starting off on the wrong foot this week.
Yes, we are. This week has been a lot of hoopla about the wonderful little iPhone 5, which came out yesterday, because we were recording on Saturday. It came out officially on Friday.
Yes.
And you did not get one?
I do not get things the day they come out, because
no,
things tend to go wrong with things when you get them the day they come out.
That is true. That is true. For a tech addict like myself, that doesn't hold water. But it's absolutely true.
Well, I mean, but also
no, I mean,
part
happened.
Of the fun of what you do is figuring out what's wrong with it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I don't want to do that. I just want it to be perfect when I get it.
Right. What we were making fun of the opening, if you didn't know, is there's been some issues with the new Apple Maps app that comes with the iPhone 5, and we'll talk about that. It's some interesting, funny, kind of quirky things. So let's dig right in, because this is the iPhone 5 episode, as opposed to last week that it wasn't. New iPhone 5. Beautiful looking device, as far as I think. You, Jamie, have not seen one in person, right?
I haven't seen it in person, but it's pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty. I got my hands on one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a chance to play around with it and, you know, hold it and just kind of inspect it, get a good look at it. I'll tell you, it's a gorgeous phone.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at this thing, you're looking at, it's just this beautiful piece of, you know, machinery, jewelry. Some people are describing it like that online.
It's, come on now.
Well, it's like an accessory.
You adorn yourself with jewelry. Jewelry hangs from you. You don't do that with an iPhone.
Well,
you put it in your pocket. You
right,
don't put jewelry in your pocket.
But then it could look like anything.
That's
right?
A terrible, terrible comparison. It's not jewelry.
I don't think it's a character.
It is a beautiful piece of machinery.
It is a beautiful piece of machinery. It's like a beautiful car.
Yes.
I would
that
say.
You put in your pocket.
It's
like a beautiful matchbox car.
So,
Hot Wheels.
Biggest differences of this one. It's got a bigger screen. That's the number one. It's not thicker. It's not wider. It's taller. So, like, the old iPhone 4, 4S was 4.5 inches height.
Right.
Of the screen. The new one is 4.87 inches, which is not a huge amount, but we're dealing with a small device. It's a significant amount.
Can you tell the difference?
You can tell the difference. And
isn't there another line of app icons?
That's, yeah.
So and it's just like the length of another line of app icons. Or they made them a little smaller.
They made them a little. They adjusted a little bit. But yes, that's a good way to think about it. And the pluses about that is, you know, you're reading a Twitter feed. You can see more in the line. You're reading emails. You can see more of your emails. A chat conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those things.
So I can see more spam that I'm getting.
Yeah. And, you know, when... Yes, it is called the spam screen. That's the reason they did it, actually. When you when you look at it compared to the other phone height, it doesn't seem as big as it is, because they made the phone a little bigger, but they also, what they really did was they brought the screen closer to the edges.
Okay.
So the size is not in relation to the bigger screen size, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So the phone as a whole size isn't as big percentage as the screen got longer.
I can't do math.
So basically, they just... they brought the screen closer to the top
edge. This new phone, is it bigger or smaller than the last one?
It's bigger.
How much bigger? It's taller, but thinner.
It's taller, but thinner. The taller is not much. It really isn't much. You know, like when I was holding it, I didn't notice a huge difference, but I did notice a little difference on the height.
Right.
The biggest thing
you put them back
notice,
to back, the old one, if it stands on its tippy toes, is it the same size? The same height?
If it stands on its tippy toes. It's all grown up like the iPhone 5. It's the little brother of the... Yeah, it's a little taller. It's a little taller. Thinner, a lot thinner. I mean, you know, listen, when we're talking about thickness, I put down these numbers because thickness, the old iPhone 4 was 4.37 inches thick. This one is 0.3.
So the iPhone 5 is the Ben Affleck to the iPhone 4's Matt Damon.
I don't
A little taller and thinner.
That's funny. That's really... I didn't know where you were going with that. I'm like, how is that? I don't even see the comparison, but that is very funny.
But, let's be honest. These smaller days, ones are better director, better actor.
This is true. What you do notice when you pick it up, it's light as hell. Between the 4 and the 5, the 4, 4S and the 5,
yeah,
it's lighter. It feels like, I don't know if you've ever held somebody's, one of the other, like Samsung Android phones or anything like that. They're usually very plastic and they're very light in the hand. So it feels like that lightness.
Mm-hmm.
You get, but it feels sturdier because it's metal and it's got the aluminum back and all that, which is another one of the new features, this beautiful aluminum back. They're saying, oh, you know, it's there. You don't need a case to, you know, put in your pocket. However, I did notice. So the phone I had my hands on was maybe 2 hours old.
Yeah.
Brand new.
Smudgy?
It wasn't. Well, the back is fine. It was a black aluminum backing. No problems. But the little apple in the back, there's the logo.
Yeah.
Is either glass or plastic.
Uh-huh.
And it was already scratched up.
Really?
Yeah. Which I found weird.
That's funny.
So I don't know if it's
probably plastic.
I think it's probably plastic, and that's probably why. Strange design choice, you know, like they could have just done kind of almost an embossed apple or something, or I don't know, they could have done something in the metal. I don't know.
Honestly though, people are gonna get cases for it. It doesn't
They will,
even though they say you don't need a case. Yeah, you do, because you're gonna drop it.
Well, that's the biggest thing. Yeah. You drop it. If you drop it on his face, you're going to crack
the
glass.
Have they made the glass more crack-proof?
They say they have. Who knows? You know, nobody really.
I did that to my phone recently, and it sucked.
Did you?
Yeah, I replaced my phone.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's a pain. It's very hard.
Before the iPhone 5 came out, but I wouldn't have gotten it right away anyway.
Right, right. What are the other... I mean, you know, iOS 6 comes on it. And that's what we were talking about, one of the features of iOS 6, which is the Maps app.
Right.
So what app, since Apple hates Google these days, what Apple did was...
Why do they hate each other?
No reason, man. Because I'll tell you what, you actually want to know why? There's a reason.
I know why, but I forget why.
Because of the iPhone. Because Steve Jobs thought Google 100% stole the iPhone with Android. They used to have a really great relationship, like Andy Rubin and Apple and Steve Jobs, like they were friends and stuff. And that's why Google Maps was the map app on iPhone, and Google Search was the search app, you know?
It's built in. I mean, you can choose, but it's the sort of default one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, until Apple releases their terrible search engine.
Or they might go to Microsoft Bing. Who knows, you know? I wouldn't be surprised.
Scott, Bing will never happen.
Jamie, have you seen the commercials? Bing wins.
Bing has taken a comedian who I think is funny and made him really unfunny.
I never use it. But I do have to say, in Microsoft's defense, Bing is actually a really nice search engine. I never use it, but it's nice and the searches are good, but I never use it. There actually was an article that came out the other day saying that when they chose the name Bing, they were really trying to get people to say, "Oh, I'm going to Bing it," you know, like people saying,
"Oh yeah,
Google
there was there
was a whole
TV
campaign.
Shows, there were TV shows that was like, yeah, like they, the product they had integrated marketing and they were saying, "I'm going to Bing that."
Yep. It didn't take off and they admitted failure to that.
Right. It doesn't sound... I mean, Google is a word that I mean, it had a definition. It had its own numerical definition, right?
Was just Google or was Googleplex? Was Google itself?
I think it's a numerical term. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Like billion.
Right. I could be. I don't know. Oh, yeah. You know what? I think you're right.
But no one really knew what it was, and that became the definition.
And Bing, everyone associates Bing with Chandler, so...
Well, or Bing Crosby, or just... I mean, the idea is like, Bing, I got an idea, right. Like light bulb going off.
But it's a common term in general, so applying it to something else is weird.
Yeah, it already has
its
other...
own place in the lexicon.
Yeah, so you like, you know, we've talked about this before. Skype. That didn't mean anything, and now everyone knows what it means. It's a verb now.
Yeah,
Google is a verb.
Google has become a verb.
Bing will never be a verb.
Exactly. So back to iOS 6.
Uh-huh.
The maps. I got to reel us in, man. Maps. So they got rid of Google Maps on the phone. Apple has created their own Maps application. Turn by turn navigation.
Come on. Maps. Yes. No.
No? What?
Sam Wallman will understand that, Jack.
Did I just lose my music cred?
Yeah, you did.
they have this new Maps app. Yeah. And so they started from the ground up. They designed their own Maps app. Turn-by-turn navigation, which is nice in there. There's been some problems people have been reporting. I mean, day-to-day use, it seems like it's okay, but... it seems as if it's not very accurate with certain locations.
Right.
From the stuff I've been reading online, it's taking people the long way to get places.
Uh-huh.
They just don't have the data that Google has. Google has for 7 years.
It's like Google Maps was like 4 years ago, basically.
Yeah, right.
So it's like...
it's okay.
It's okay, but it's not going to replace it. There's a much better option.
Right.
Google Maps is a standard. Like, remember MapQuest? No one uses that anymore.
True. Apple
Maps is not going to replace that.
Right. I don't
think
so.
I mean, unless they somehow devote all of their resources to that. But Google's been, like, consistently doing it for 7 years.
Yeah.
Cars driving around, people with hats on, walking up the Hollywood Bowl.
They have driven the whole country, the world.
Well, you can go into landmarks because people put a hat on and walk into, you know.
Yeah, they have like inside shopping malls.
Isn't there a thing now with like if you have a seat in a stadium,
you can
find
see a
it?
Seat view.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to... Google, it's not like this was just on some side Google project. You're right. Google has gone all out on the mapping platform, strong and hard for 7 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be very hard for
them. They're like Rand McNally. You know,
they have become the
modern
Atlas.
Cartographers. They are the Amerigo Vespucci of our time.
Google, the modern cartographers.
Amerigo Vespucci.
Google.
It's true, though.
It's very, you know what? It is a great point. It's actually something I never thought about. It's a very, very true point. I mean, they are covering the world.
Yeah.
You know, with this kind of stuff, and it's amazing. What's going to happen? You know, their data obviously is going to get better. Google is going to come out with a standalone Maps app for iOS. Obviously, they would be. I can't imagine that not happening. You know.
Right.
It's going to be a very long time for them to catch up, but some of the funny stuff that's happening. So they have this satellite flyover mode, and basically what it does is it's like the satellite mode in Google Maps, but if you go 3D, like you can go like to a side view, it takes all the buildings with the satellite imagery and turns them into 3D renderings of the actual building.
Yes.
So it's very cool. But as we were talking about in our opening, there is a lot of garbled data.
Yes.
Like in the Hoover Dam, it shows a road going down and up and under like the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
You know, and like if you look at like tops of buildings, even in San Francisco, where it's just like that, they should have gotten that perfect.
Because that's where Google is.
I mean, like tops of buildings look like crumpled metal and like it's really weird.
I was looking at pictures of New York and like Statue of Liberty's flat. The Brooklyn Bridge, like, just sort of disappears and goes into, like, an abyss, like a hell abyss.
It makes me think that if Steve Jobs was still alive, there is no way in hell this app would have launched in the state it was.
Or Apple's really prescient, prescient. How do you say prescient? How do you say that word? They see the future.
Oh.
And they're mapping out the world after December 21st, 2012.
They've hired Nostradamus. He actually is working in Cupertino. He's got a little office.
Nostradamus. Joe Stradamus.
Yeah, Joe Stradamus. I mean, he's, if you look at the Apple list of employees, he is in there. And Joe Stradamus at apple.com. I mean, so people, if you really rely on Google, you know, there's no, on Apple, there's no, like public transportation information, street view. All the, if you're used to that, I would say maybe you might not want to upgrade your OS to iOS 6 just yet.
Yeah. Wait until Google releases an app.
Yeah, exactly. What are the other things? Oh,
how is that not out there already? Because
they're waiting.
It came standard?
No,
why are they waiting?
I think they're waiting for people to be frustrated with it, or
they
want
to highlight Apple's failure.
I think it's strategic.
And then they release a new phone and say, look, ours is better.
And we have our new maps. And they can promote their phone with the apps. You know, or they may go exclusive Android with Google Maps.
That is a mistake.
I mean, they may. Because, like, Microsoft, on the Microsoft phones, they have Bing Maps, and they don't have Google Maps.
Is there a Google app for Microsoft?
I don't think so.
It's just a mistake.
I think it's a mistake, too. I think it's a big mistake. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm curious. I think,
if,
I mean,
if you have
it's such a huge
market. If you
have
a certain part of the market, right? Apple has a corner on the phone market in America. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah.
Google has a corner
on maps,
maps
in the world. I think, I mean, they released Chrome for iOS, so I can't imagine that they won't. They're putting their, you know, they're doing it as individual apps, so I can't imagine that they won't do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
The iPhone 5, what else? They have the screen is this new IPS LCD screen, you know, very high resolution, beautiful. I look, you know, it's nice.
Yeah.
Apple has their new A6 processor, which
when,
is
when it's turned off, it looks like there should be apes at the bottom of it throwing bones into the air.
I don't understand.
I think that if Apple was smart,
like
they would try to get the rights to 2001 and put the iPhone in
as the
in clips.
That would be funny. Actually, that'd be a great ad campaign. That would be a great ad campaign.
Yeah.
Jamie D, you should be working for the ad agency. that's really funny. But yeah, it kind of does look like that. The processor on this thing, it's super fast.
And then it says, don't monkey around, get the iPhone.
Still would be a great ad campaign. They would never do it, but it would be a great ad campaign. It's lightning fast. It's lightning fast. I mean, this thing is instant touch. And with the LTE, it's got the new LTE network on AT&T and Verizon.
Uh-huh.
Everything is just fast. It's just, it's what you want in a phone. It's that instant access to, you know, if you have good data, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But it's that instant access to pulling things up. It's nice. It's really nice. And you can just, the flow and working on the phone is
by the way, have
great.
You noticed, this is not, has nothing to do with the iPhone, but have you noticed how strong the Time Warner Wi-Fi signal is around town?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you have Time Warner?
Yeah.
See, I don't have it. It ruins everything. If I have Wi-Fi on my phone,
does it try to jump to it?
It goes right to that, no matter what.
You can take that off, so it never goes to it.
How do I just select that network and say
and
I don't have
it? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, if I, you know, I'm on my phone instead of
interesting
utilizing. In a place where there normally wouldn't be Wi-Fi, and it will just utilize the 3G or whatever.
Oh, do you keep your Wi-Fi on all the time?
I do, because what am I...
Drains
the
battery.
Does it really?
Yeah.
But I also don't... I mean, you know, it's not like I'm... It seems like a real pain in the ass to be like, well, I'm leaving work now, turn the Wi-Fi off.
But it's a significant difference in the battery life.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It actually does make
if I were designing iPhones, there should be a really easy access homepage button.
Like on Android?
That turns it on and off. Does Android do that?
Well, on my phone, I just slide the top down and I click the button for Wi-Fi or click the button off for Wi-Fi.
They should have that.
Yeah, a toggle, like a toggle switch would be fantastic.
Right on
it's,
the home,
it's really strange
right
that
the
they don't actually.
Yeah.
On the iPhone.
I think they're in it with Time Warner.
Well, you
know, Time Warner, I mean, it's so crazy. Like,
we're one of the few cities that has that too, and
it drives me nuts.
I mean, for someone who has Time Warner, it's great for me because I get free Wi-Fi all around the city.
Right. Yeah, it's great until you don't have it, and then you're like, I need to look up where this place is that I'm going. Oh, but then I go to this page, and then I got to go turn off my Wi-Fi. It's really not that big of a pain in the ass. I sound like a...
So dramatic, Jamie Turner.
I sound like a spoiled brat. This is an amazing device I have in my hand. The world is in my hand, and all I have to do is like go down two menus and toggle a switch off. I shouldn't be complaining.
Speaking of battery life, though, the new iPhone, 8 hours of talk time, I think. Yeah, eight hours of use time, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Even with LTE, which takes up a lot more power, which is kind of incredible. I really, that to me is like so key for a new phone is battery life. New camera. 8-megapixel camera on the phone, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I've had an 8-megapixel camera on my phone for a while, and when you see the difference between the 5-megapixel from the iPhone 4S and the 8, it is a big difference, especially if you are someone who wants to print out pictures. You see the difference.
Right.
You really do see the difference. And they have
really see that one gray hair in my beard.
And you can see that one gray rogue hair in the top of my head, like temple, that I pluck out every month. But it's got the panoramic picture taking, which is always cool. I've had that for a little while. It's nice. I actually use it a bunch on my phone. I think people will use that a lot. And one of the new iPhone ads actually has that in it. Have you seen any of them? They're kind of nice.
I watched
Jeff Daniels.
I watched stuff from the
launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch any of the ads, but I watched them watch the ads.
Right. Right. You know, it comes in 16 gig, 32 gig, 16 gig, 32, 64 gig phones. Just like the other ones.
Yeah.
Another huge difference is the headphone jack on the bottom. No, that's not the huge difference. But there is. The headphone jack is now not on the top. It is on the bottom of the phone, which has changed. But that seems to be the case now for all devices. Everyone's kind of going on the bottom.
I wonder why.
I will show you why. If you have the phone and you have it plugged into the bottom, you slip it into your pocket like that, and then you just pull it out, and it's in the orientation of you looking at it, as opposed to the other way where you have to turn it over.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But the big thing is the new dock connector.
Right.
That's the big thing I was talking about. And it is called...
Lightning.
Thunderbolt and Lightning.
Right.
By the way, have you seen that commercial where they are talking the words to Bohemian Rhapsody? I don't even know what it was for. I only saw half of the commercial because it cut off on my TiVo. But like, there's a guy standing in a coffee shop, and he's like, "Thunderbolts and lightning?" Very, very frightening. Like, they're doing it like Shakespeare, but the words of...
I've never seen... You don't know what it's for?
I can't remember. It is the oddest commercial.
You didn't see this on YouTube?
No, I was watching it on TV. It was at the end of like a recording of something I had on the TiVo. And it was... I'm like, this is strange. But dock connector. It's smaller, thinner.
Yeah.
It's reversible, which
reversible,
is kind of nice. Yeah, you can plug it in. And
it doesn't matter. Mm-mm. It's not like a USB where you're like, did I just mess everything up?
Right. You can just plug it in any direction, which is very nice.
Yeah.
Disadvantage? Doesn't work with anything right now. Any accessories. Every accessory you've ever bought that uses the dock on the Apple.
But you can buy adapters, right?
You can buy adapters, but certain things it won't work. With the adapter, you can't have video out, and you can't have like certain audio features. So a lot of car stuff won't work. Even with the adapter and a lot of accessories. So, you know, the accessory makers are ramping up to do new stuff. But all in all, they had to do it to keep the phone, to make the phone smaller. I mean, that's really all it boils down to. They had to do it to make the phone smaller. So I don't think it's, there's big uproar about this new dock connector.
Can I ask why they needed to name it something like that?
Their other new port is... Thunderbolt.
Right.
So they were going themey.
But isn't a Thunderbolt lightning?
Yes, it is.
So that's
that's really funny.
Right? I mean, like...
A Thunderbolt is lightning.
Right. So, like, thunder and lightning makes sense.
Right.
But how is a Thunderbolt and, you know...
Very, very astute observation, James. That's really funny. You're right. I don't know. So we'll see. I mean, it's an all digital connector, a 30-pin dock connector. It's apparently it's based on USB 2.0, from what I understand.
Like what does a Thunderbolt connect to? That's what it should have. They should have figured that out. A tree, a man without shoes on.
Well, they stem from the ground, so
like, oh, that's true.
Like comes, it doesn't come out of the cloud.
That is true.
Right, it comes up from the ground. Mr. Science Man, I know.
Mr. Science Man, he's gonna tell us science. Mr. Science Man,
that's me.
Scott Gold is Mr. Science Man.
I think those are the you know, that's the iPhone 5 as far as I know it. My hands on time, it was awesome. I do have to say, and yeah. For the first time in my life, I am contemplating getting an iPhone, which is...
Don't you kind of go through this every time?
Yeah,
though?
I do.
Yeah. So, not really...
Here's
that
my
is
thing.
Not, that is not... So, you just spoke a mistruth. It is not... You are contemplating... That is not the first time you contemplated getting an iPhone. In fact, I bet you contemplate getting an iPhone
every
quite
time.
A bit.
I do every time. I'll tell you this, though. I've always been a keyboard guy on the phone, and I've always, you know, I've wanted... I liked having a keyboard. I think I've resigned to the fact that...
They're all evolving to have
just,
no keyboards.
They're just going away. I mean, Samsung released a kind of so-so keyboard phone on T-Mobile recently, but I just don't think we're going to see them. So I think I got to jump ship. And if I'm going to jump ship, iPhone 5 is looking pretty attractive.
Right.
Is also there... because of the screen size. Because all the other new manufacturers, their phones are huge.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
is there any like... comparison out there between the operating systems and the touchscreen keyboards, which are the
Apple
best.
Seems to be the best. However, right. I really do like Swipe, which is a keyboard on Android. I think it's for iOS too, where you don't have to lift your finger up. You can.
But we're
just,
on iOS 6.
iOS also, Jamie. I like that a lot. I like that kind of typing, and you get used to it, and it for me, it works really well. But and you can get it for the iPhone also. So it's, you know, in general, though, the keyboard on the iOS, hands down, it's the best. Nobody's really come close to it.
Okay.
As far as I can see.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how I would deal with it in day-to-day use. I think it would be, for texting, no big deal. But sometimes I write emails on there. And do you ever write, like, longer emails on your phone?
Sometimes.
Isn't this okay?
It's okay. I mean, I don't really have the best comparative view on this because I jumped straight from...
You've had it for so long.
...a phone that was just the number pad.
Right, to an iPhone.
To an iPhone. So I used to have to go press 3 4 times to get a B.
Oh, yeah, remember that?
Or an E or whatever the fuck it was. Sorry. I went right from there to... an iPhone, so I didn't have a keyboard. I never had a keyboard phone.
Right.
So I find it pretty easy. I've been trying to sort of adapt the voice thing, the dictation sort of thing.
Yeah, Siri or just dictation.
Siri, well, it
you mean just
Siri,
dictation?
However you can do it. I don't know if it's not Siri, but it's like whenever you're in the mail program or in text, you can press the microphone.
Dictation.
But the problem with that is that. You know, catches all your ums and it's not perfect. So then you have to go back through and edit it.
That's true.
You know, when you're typing something out, you leave that stuff out.
Right.
You don't type your
You don't?
No.
What are you talking about? Are you sure? all right. I think that's enough of iPhone. Mm-hmm. Unless you have anything else to add.
No.
I got nothing else.
I got they're pretty.
There's an Apple event coming up in October. Rumors are iPad mini, maybe a new iMac. Curious to see what happens then. We'll see. But all in all, iPhone 5 is really nice. I don't think it's this crazy new amazing, revolution. It's just nice and refined.
Is it me or is it kind of like has the wind been taken out of the sails from these events?
It has.
Like I don't care anymore. It's sort of like a political convention.
Well, like, it's like, you know what?
You know something's coming, but you pretty much know exactly what you're getting.
Well, you know why also is there hasn't been a surprise in a few years from Apple.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, When Steve Jobs used to do, one more thing,
right?
That's been like probably 5 years since there's been one of those.
The closest was the Foo Fighters saying, one more song.
Ooh.
And one more song. Great.
Awesome. So, I think that, and with all the leaks that have happened with Apple's products that have been pretty dead on, I mean, almost all these specs were known before it launched.
Yeah.
You know, they're having a hard time keeping a lid on it. So,
Want them to be one more thing, and then like an awesome robot comes out.
You know, it's gonna happen one day.
Why don't they just do something fun at the end?
Well, and why don't it seems like they've gotten lazy, because why not do like send a press announcement about music and say that it's gonna be the new iPod Touch, and then at the end introduce the new iMac,
right?
You know, like do a little like
that's what they used
counterintelligence,
yeah.
Like you know, trick us.
What they used to do.
We want to be tricked.
I want a surprise at the end.
Yeah. Jamie wants a little, you know...
M. Night Shyamalan.
That's not where I was going.
Twilight Zone.
No. Cracker Jack prize at the bottom of the box.
No, Cracker Jack prizes, for the most part, are terrible. That's a bad comparison.
Cereal prize? Those, you as a kid, you always wanted to do.
Those are better. Those are better. Cracker Jack prizes are like paper books with like a joke in it, or like... something that's supposed to be a little toy, but
right.
Is just like some piece of plastic that got overheated and is more like a globule that if you swallowed, it might kill you.
Yes, that's true. Or a tattoo of a sailor.
Yeah, yeah. That's tattoo of a sailor. Not a sailor tattoo.
No, a tattoo of a sailor. Mr. Cracker Jack dude was like a sailor, wasn't he?
Yeah.
With his dog?
Yeah.
I think the dog, was it Cracker and Jack, or was the dog Cracker Jack?
I don't think that either of them were Cracker Jack. I just think they were the symbol.
Logo, right.
But if I had to guess, the guy's Jack and the dog's Cracker. Because that sounds like normal names.
Right. Well, Jack the dog is a...
I knew a guy that had a dog named Jack, named it after his father.
There is a song what's the song that has Jack the dog is a lyric. And I'm blanking. It's a very famous song. The Wait. No. Oh, my God.
The Wait? Like the band?
No. I can't remember it, but...
I don't know. Jack and Diane? Is that song about that? Jeez.
How did you know?
It's a totally different song than I thought it was.
All right. We're moving on. But we're still staying in the phone world for a second. HTC, one of the world's largest phone manufacturers.
What does HTC stand for?
Quietly Brilliant, Jamie. No, I don't know, actually.
That doesn't make sense.
It's
that's their logo. That's their slogan.
I'm sure some, you know, I actually don't know. I have no idea.
High-tech cellular?
Ooh. I would not be surprised if you're right. But they used to be the people who made the branded phones for AT&T and T-Mobile and all that stuff. So when you would see, like, the AT&T blah, 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 it was usually made by HTC.
Which, by the way, was the worst name for a phone ever.
I know. It didn't last very long. So HTC, they're a huge phone manufacturer, especially in the Android world. They used to make Windows phones back in the day. The original one, I had one forever. It was one of my favorite phones. I mean, they've really been strong with design and build quality and all this stuff. So
yeah,
they're coming out with a new line of Windows phones. The Windows 8X and the Windows 8S, I think. They're coming out with all different colors. So there's going to be like this swath of like multicolored phones, and they're really pretty. I have to say, and you know, we'll see what they are with Windows Phone. The nice thing I like is, you know, all these Windows phones that are coming out from Nokia and all that stuff, they're these huge phones.
Yeah.
And this is like in the middle of sizes between the new iPhone and those phones. So like the screen size, it's 5.21 inches for the 8X. And actually the 8S is 4.74 inches.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know, so the size is not massive like these other phones.
Yeah, but
they're bigger.
But the two difference between the two phones is...
Yeah.
Is
it's big. It's a
that's
big
crazy. Price.
Yeah. So like the 8S is kind of like the lower end phone. The specs aren't as high, and it's going to be less expensive. But these phones have my interest peaked. They have really high quality screens. I've always been a sucker for HTC. I really, they've just been the phones that I've always loved. And so, you know, like there's all these, you know, online that, you know, you can kind of see what they look like.
Ooh, it's spinning.
and I guess what they're doing is the phones are going to come with a color that will match the Windows 8 operating system on the phone. So if it's a purple phone, the OS is purple.
But you can't change that?
I'm sure
you
can.
What if you want orange? That complements purple.
No, I'm sure you can, but I think that's just like the default of what it's going to be. But they're nice looking phones, I have to say. I think they're fun and pretty, and the build quality looks great from what I can tell. You know, I just...
Is that the smaller one?
No, that was... I don't know which one that was. But, you know, it's kind of... It's got these aluminum backs and, you know, they really... I don't know.
Looks nice. They look nice.
I think they look like nice phones. I think they're, you know... The problem with all these Windows 8 phones is that...
Is that they run on Windows 8?
Is that they run on Windows 8. You know, it's the apps. Like, I was thinking, okay, I would like to try one because they look interesting. And the OS is actually good. But I use Google Voice. And
right. There's
no Google Voice app. Yeah. There's no Google Maps app. There's no, you know... There are these things that are holding me back from getting a phone like that.
Yeah.
And HTC, nice thing is they do make Android phones. And I'm kind of hoping this form factor that they designed for the Windows phones is going to translate into their next round of Android phones.
Right.
Because then that's probably the phone I would get. So those are coming out soon. You can check it out on the HTC website. They're pretty interesting. I don't, you know, what we know about them is not all that much. I have a little bit of the specs, actually. Let's see. The Super LCD 2 screen, which is a really high quality. The 8X is a 120 by 720 HD, you know, resolution, which is pretty cool. Snapdragon S4 1.5 gigahertz processor, which is a very fast top-of-the-line processor for the 8X. The 8S actually just has the 1 gigahertz processor. They have the 8X, 16 gigs of RAM inside. And I think the 8S has 4, 8 megapixel camera on the 8X, 5 on the 8S. So like the 8S is the lower end model, probably be less expensive,
yeah,
you know, for all that stuff. But yeah, it looks promising. That's all I'm saying. It looks promising and I'm excited for it and I want to get my hands on them. So we'll see. We'll see.
Interesting.
Now this was a piece of news I thought was very interesting. All Things D had a little article about RAM chips. So memory that you have in your phone and in your computer, and a lot of devices have memory. So memory is, for those out there who aren't that familiar, there's your hard drive in your computer, that is the storage space, and then there is memory, which are the chips that control, it's called RAM, random access memory, that control a lot of times what you see on the screen.
Right.
And so certain programs will utilize the RAM in order to show you things faster or to process faster or to complement the processor.
Right.
For our lifetime, RAM has been primarily used in desktop computers. Actually, yes. Forever. Not for our lifetime. Since the beginning of RAM.
Right.
which is...
Since the beginning of RAM.
It has been... I don't know. I was trying to be funny and I had nothing. Come on, Dooner, help me out.
Hey, you're in your own boat now.
So this is the first time...
Since the dawn of RAM.
that only 49% of RAM produced around the world was used for PCs, desktops, and notebooks. That means...
RAM!
That means that 50.2%... Or down from 50.2%. So that means 51% of RAM is being used in other devices, such as smartphones and tablets. And really what that's... I mean, the reason that's a big deal is because that's really the first sign of proof that we are in this post-PC era.
Right.
You know, now we have actually... I mean, the statistics are showing us, and what's being produced and bought is away from desktop computers and now into these mobile devices. Fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating. And people have been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And now it's actually, you can point to this and go, yeah, it's actually happening. It's not just theory.
If you want further proof of that, there is a YouTube video of, I believe, Ja Rule. It's either Ja Rule or DMX.
Oh, boy.
I don't know which one. One of those 90s rappers. They talk like this. Anyway, they ask him to Google himself and he doesn't know how to do it. On a laptop computer.
Come on.
I swear this is true.
No, this isn't
yes.
true. This is not true. Jamie, this is not true.
But he can do it on his phone.
Oh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That is very... And that is proof in the pudding, man.
That person is old enough to... That they should be able to
they should,
do it yes. on a computer.
Exactly. That's
and young enough that they should be
able to do it on a computer. That's very
like my grandmother. who is not alive, so obviously she can't Google anything.
Would be okay if she had an issue doing that.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I find it interesting, All Things D, if you want to check out more information about it. Little update to the Shazam app has occurred.
Shazam!
You've used Shazam.
Jamie,
I'm not supposed to say anything, but Jamie is Shazam, the cartoon character. Remember Shazam?
Yes.
Captain Shazam or whatever.
What did Shazam do?
I don't know. He went Shazam!
He appeared, right?
And he turned into
He's a comic book character, right? Or was he just a cartoon character?
Comic book and cartoon.
Was he... I barely remember what it was.
It was almost like you had magic or
something. Was it like
Hanna-Barbera
or something? Was he like around the Super Friends or was he like his own thing?
And he was his own thing.
I feel like he had a dog that was kind of like Scooby-Doo-ish, but wasn't.
I don't remember him having a dog, but it's
Maybe
definitely
I'm
possible.
Wrong about that.
Well, we can pull up a little information about Shazam. But what I was really talking about was the Shazam app that everybody uses for music discovery, you know?
Right.
So I just spelled Shaksam. When I was trying to type it in, but for those, I can't.
Shazam.
Shazam.
Sounds like Yiddish.
You know, it's funny when you search Shazam on Google, it's Captain Marvel, also referred to as Shazam.
Or is that what Shazam said? Is that what Captain Marvel said? Was that his like punchline or not punchline?
Captain Marvel. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was, I guess maybe, yeah, he was, this was Shazam. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, back to my point. My point was the Shazam app has a new fun new feature. I don't know if you've noticed it, Jamie, but recently on a lot of commercials, they have had the Shazam logo. Have you seen that at all?
No, I haven't noticed it.
So they've been doing this for a little while, and if you Shazam the commercial, it takes you to more information about the product on your phone, right? And it's been... I think...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's been happening a lot, and I've seen a lot of commercials at the bottom corner. So now, Shazam can identify any TV show in the United States. So if you're watching a show, at any point you hit Shazam, it'll tell you what you're watching, give you IMDb links, cast and crew information, all that stuff.
Crazy.
Pretty neat. I mean, there's...
I will tell you this, whoever is using Shazam on their iPad on this news article really needs to charge their iPad. They're down to 16% battery.
What are you talking about? Oh, on the picture you're looking at. That's funny. Into Now was another app that's done that for a little while now. Yahoo owns them, I believe. I've actually used it. It's kind of neat because it gives you plot summary information
really?
And all that stuff. I think Shazam has a good chance, shot at positioning themselves in a really good way for this. It's fun, It's not like... I wouldn't use it the same way I'd use it for a song. Like a song, I'm like, oh, what is that song?
You know?
But for a TV show, I usually know what I'm watching most of the time.
Or if you are watching the weird part about it is if you are at home watching TV, most people have cable or satellite, and you press your button on the thing.
But if you
want to
know
watching.
More about the actors or anything
I guess that makes sense.
It's that whole second screen concept.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That Microsoft would talk, that Project Glass that Microsoft was talking about and all that.
Yeah, that's great.
You know?
Neat.
Or not Project Glass, something.
Project Runway.
Yes, Project Runway. Microsoft was debuting. They have a supermodel stand in your house and actually tell you who's in the show. Yeah. No. No. Sorry. All right. Well, I thought that was interesting. All right.
Yeah, that's neat.
I think we should move away from the world of technology and move into the world of entertainment. What do you think, Jamie D?
Okay.
And the world of entertainment brings us the Jamie Duna rant of the week. And that is how you were feeling when you saw
The Master.
So give us a rundown, James.
The Master. Hey, let's just get it off the
for
top
those
of my head.
It's a new movie. It's a new movie. Tell us a little. Just
Paul Thomas Anderson directed it. He of Boogie Nights and There Will Be Blood and Magnolia and other stuff.
Very prolific filmmaker.
Actually, I would not call him prolific, but I would say that his movies tend to be good, but he hasn't made a movie in like 6 years or something. There Will Be Blood
was six years ago?
Something like that. Yeah,
wow.
It was a while ago. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, it could be.
The Master, he directed The Master, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix. story of a
World War II movie Joaquin has done in a while, right?
Since he did his whole
crazy
his documentary thing. Yeah. I'm still here, whatever it was called.
He was sitting across the aisle from me when I saw Fiona Apple, by the way. Just saying.
And he plays a World War II vet who's kind of, he's an alcoholic and he's struggling to find his identity, and he ends up stowing away on this sort of private ship, and it's the ship of Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is this scientist and author and sort of like developing a philosophy that people are sort of cultishly gleaming onto, and he's sort of seemingly taking advantage of them, but it's not really very clear. It conceptually fascinating. Acting's good. I just thought the execution was bad. It was, you know, it was very obtuse. There was lots of, it was very long. It was 2.5 hours and it felt like 3. It was one of those movies that had about 10 endings. You know, where I was like, oh, this is the end. Oh, wait, no. No, wait, this is the end. Oh, no, it's not.
That's always the... I get so frustrated by that.
I wanted to love it. I just was never engaged.
Any positives?
Yeah, there's 4 or 5 terrific scenes. Just like...
Right.
Great scenes. It was not the movie... I mean, it's hard, like, walking into a movie with expectation is...
Always difficult.
Stupid, you shouldn't do it, you know? Like, in a perfect world, every movie I'd see with a blank slate, but it's impossible.
Doesn't happen, yeah.
Sometimes it happens, because you have no idea what you're walking into.
Rare, though.
Beasts of the Southern Wild, no idea what I was going to say.
Right.
That movie, Robot and Frank, I had no idea what it was going to be. Liked both of those movies, probably because I had no expectation.
Yeah, true.
This, I just, you know, I really liked his other stuff. Here's, the whole movie kind of reminded me. Remember in There Will Be Blood, there was like that subplot of the twin brothers, and that was sort of vaguely confusing, and
yeah.
I feel like it didn't have any follow through.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like the whole movie felt like to me.
And There Will Be Blood, I wasn't even sure that was twin brothers at a certain point.
Yeah, just sort of it's confusing. It's not that it's slow, and it has big ideas in it, and I don't, that doesn't bother me. I like movies that make me think and have slow pace. It just wasn't, like, I was never enamored by the Philip Seymour Hoffman character enough that I understood why people fell for his thing.
Interesting.
And there was a really interesting movie in there where they just focused on his character and his followers and the family.
Yeah.
But the Joaquin Phoenix character was just sort of like, as good as he was, he was good in it, but it was just sort of like, how many times have you seen the guy that can't stop drinking and, you know, has a flash of like, I shouldn't do this, and then goes back and it's over and over again. And neither of the characters really evolved in the movie. It was just very...
That's a bummer, man.
Lots of long monologues that are, it's good acting, but they're not saying anything.
So you just never were connected to the movie?
No, there's like two or
feel like you're on
four
the outside
or five scenes
almost.
Where I was like, oh, this is really good. But the rest of it, I just didn't feel like it was cohesive. It was a bummer, you know?
That's too bad.
I don't know that I would watch it again. I mean, I probably will. In a few years, I'll probably
general
give it another
user,
shot.
General listener out there, would you say...
Won't like it.
Don't. Yeah. So don't even bother.
It's everyone's going to feel like it's pretentious. Yeah. It is pretentious.
Interesting. Okay. Entertainment Weekly gave it an A, which I was shocked.
Lots of critics. It's a critical darling, but it's also... It's
that
a
doesn't
tough
make
movie.
It good.
Yeah, like I usually like movies like this, and I didn't like this one. I just felt like sort of... I didn't care.
That is unfortunate.
In a movie about a master manipulator, I was not manipulated.
At all.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
And I think it's one of those things, I read a bunch of reviews, and you can read anything into anything. It's like a horoscope.
Oh, yeah,
it's like
always.
A horoscope. If you sit there and watch something long enough, you can talk about, you can come up
the
with
the subtle
some,
thing that this means and blah, blah, blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
The famous, there's that famous opening of Huckleberry Finn where like, Mark Twain in the foreword sort of like says, don't read into this. I'm this is not exactly what it was, but he's like, nothing, there's no symbolism in this. I didn't do anything. He kind of like goes on this rant, like, this is just a story.
Right.
You know, and obviously that stuff comes up, but he was just sort of commenting on people read something and they start to overanalyze it.
They have a need to find meaning.
A lot of times when people create something, they're not connecting. They're like that stuff comes out for sure, but it's also
not necessarily their intent.
Yeah. And you know, it's art. You take what you want from it. I will say, and I'm repeating my friend Yehudi's point, that I'm glad I live in a world where a movie like this can come out, even though I didn't like it. I wouldn't want it all to be Hollywood system kind of BS movies.
You just want it to be better.
I just wanted it to be a better movie. Yeah. I didn't care for it.
Right. All right. Well, don't go see it.
Yeah. Well, go and see it and make your own choice, but don't say I didn't warn you.
There you go. Now, to the flip side of religion, you also saw something a lot better this week. The Book of Mormon.
Oh, the Book of Mormon.
I didn't see it.
I was like, what are you talking about? Yes. Book of Mormon was terrific.
The theater, the Broadway tour.
They are actually like
polar opposites.
Opposite sides of the same coin.
Right.
A comment on religion and sort of like the cult-like
aspects of Mormon.
Yeah, the sort of, or of any religion. Book of Mormon was really, although it sort of focuses on Mormon religion. It's about
religion.
All religion.
Yeah, in general.
And that's funny. Like, I hadn't connected those two things in my mind, but they really are about the same thing.
That's
about,
funny.
Like, influence and what you take for gospel, you
right.
know? And Book of Mormon just sort of, like, comments on it harshly.
And
but
funny.
And funny, but doesn't totally disavow it.
Right. Well, it's not... And I've read interviews with the Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and they said that they're like, we were not bashing on Mormonism.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, that's not how it comes off.
It does. I mean, a little bit. They make fun
of fun of it, but they're not like, but it's in the characters are endearing, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, and there are bad Mormons and there's good Mormons in the show, you know? And it's just, I mean, there was very few moments in the entire show where I was not laughing, just laughing. And it's like a good old fashioned musical.
It's awesome.
And there are very few things that I've ever seen that could include both AIDS jokes and like a Top Hat and Cane number
within minutes of each other.
Like old school, like
Jamie's doing a tap. I just want you to know, Jamie is miming a hat and cane right now.
It cracked me up. I mean, because you don't expect, you go to a musical now, you don't really expect that old school,
right.
like,
music razzle man, dazzle. You know, like.
Yeah, and it's just, it is joyous, is a good way to put it. Like,
nice.
I mean, some of the jokes are, it's maybe
it's South
the most,
Park guys.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, it's one of the most offensive
and
things
And Avenue
I've ever
Q.
Seen.
It's the guys from South Park and Avenue Q.
Right.
I mean,
I saw it with my mom. And she, you know, she was crying. She was laughing so hard. And it is really offensive.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. You don't want to be sitting next to your mom. Like,
really? Really? Were you just like cowering a little bit?
No, like, I was like, what? Sort of like, a little weird, but like she was laughing at it. So I was like, great. This is great. This is fun.
Awesome.
But highly recommend that. That's a no-brainer. Go and see it if you can. If you can handle being offended by sort of outrageous jokes, because there's a lot of bad language. And,
right. I mean, if you've seen South Park, or if you've seen the movie South Park, you know, the South Park movie, or
Team
America,
you know what you're getting into. It's like the most offensive kind of stuff you can imagine. It is,
but awesome.
But it's really fun, and it's a good musical.
Yeah.
Like solid musical numbers. You know, they're sort of embracing it and making fun of it at the same time. Like there's like the reprises that are like super dramatic, you know, but they're funny.
Yeah.
You know, like it's really, it is good.
It is on tour and it's in Los Angeles right now. There is a Chicago production that's not the tour that's going on soon. And it's on Broadway, so you know it will be making its way around the country.
Check it out. I'm sure if you live in New York, you've probably already seen it.
Right. But anywhere else in the country, it's coming. It's coming, and if you're in Chicago, you guys will get your own production, and it'll probably be there for quite some time, I think.
That's really funny that I had not connected. Maybe that's why I hated The Master so much.
Because you liked
Book of Mormon like 3 days before, and it was kind of the same subject matter.
Interesting. All right, we're gonna talk about some music stuff. Jamie has some cool new artists. I went and saw Fiona Apple at the Greek Theater the other night. That woman puts on an incredible show.
Yeah.
She really, I mean, first let's lay it out there. She's a strange bird.
Yes, that's the perfect way to describe
her. She is an odd individual. Looks like a bird. Yes, she does. She sounded incredible. Like, she just, you can see her tense up when she's singing, and like, she puts everything out on the stage, which is awesome. And she can sit at the piano and growl and like just have this, like, just these primal yells. And then the next second, she's doing these upper high register Mariah Carey kind of notes.
Right.
On her. I mean, like, how are you doing that? I mean, it was very impressive. And this, you know, her music is very, has this very jazz influence to it.
Uh-huh.
So her backup band was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys killed it. They killed
it. Do
you
know anything about her, like, growing up?
No, you were telling me a little bit. Something weird, right?
Her dad, I believe, or it might have been both of her parents, but I think her dad was like, he was some sort of, I don't know if he was a comedian or just sort of like a entertainer in general. Like, he may have been like a musician.
Yeah.
But he toured with like burlesque dancers.
Oh, really?
So like,
that actually makes a little sense in her music. That's interesting.
So she sort of grew up like touring around the country, lived based in New York, but like, like touring with
until
these,
she was a teenager or whatever.
Yeah, with like her dad playing music and her, and like everyone, all the big influences in her life were like burlesque dancers.
Oh, fascinating!
Like old school, not
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
No, I know.
So that's pretty interesting.
That is very interesting, and actually, you can hear that influence in her music. It she has a lot of that very old style music. It's fascinating, and really, I mean, it was great. I mean, I have to mention she looked very rail thin.
She's always looked like
gaunt. No, she looked. She didn't look.
She
good.
Really could use one of her last names.
Yes, she did not look good. And then I found out she was busted for drug possession the other day, just like every other musician.
Yeah,
ever.
But
hash actually.
Hash.
But wouldn't that make her hungry?
Hash is like pot. It's one of those things. It's like, come on, really? They're arresting people for that? That's ridiculous.
I know.
Unless you really have a ton of it and you're selling it.
From what I understand, where it happened, it has happened to many musicians, and it's kind of like...
It's the state of Texas.
It is, yeah. It's apparently this location in Texas, it happens
that's
to almost
Snoop
every
Dogg,
passing musician.
Having Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson, who is like the patron saint of Texas, I believe, was arrested in the same place.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a stop.
And if that person, that sheriff who arrested Willie Nelson in Texas, he ain't a true Texan. I'll
yeah,
tell
he
you.
Ain't no true Texan. So Fiona Apple, if you get a chance to see her on tour, I really...
New album's good, too.
New album's great. She...
What's the name of the new album, Scott?
Ilderblick and the Bleeders.
There's the 50 words.
Ilderwild and the blah-de-de-blah-blah-blue-blue.
Mm, right.
Yeah, it's a wild, long, three-sentence thing. You had some new music that you wanted to talk about.
Yes. there's a couple... albums, one that's been out a while.
And but by the way, before you start, there are a ton of new mainstream albums out.
Avid Brothers,
the No Doubt's coming out.
New Band of Horses is pretty good.
Band of Horses.
I keep naming things that aren't mainstream.
No, well, but I mean, but put it this way, more mainstream than what you're going to talk about.
I was going to say that's a good thing. Shit for this.
Oh, yeah.
New Pink album's pretty good.
Last Pink album was good. I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
She puts out some good music.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize. A good pop song's a good pop song.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all there is to it. There's nothing wrong with liking it.
Nope. Nothing like it.
But I'm gonna talk about some hipster stuff.
Some stuff you might not stumble upon by yourselves.
So first I'll talk about the oldest one. I'll bookend them. There is an album that's been out for maybe a month. Jesse Ware is the name of the artist, W-A-R-E.
Yeah.
And don't know the name of the album off the top of my head, but she's British.
I thought it was a guy.
and it's got a really cool vibe, almost like a Sade kind of thing going on. And the production's really cool. There's a song called Wildest Moments that's, I think, one of the tracks of the year for me. Just really, really really cool album. Very, very low key. Good, yeah. Probably good makeout album if you
if you need an album for you and your lady.
Or you and your man, who I'm not judging, whatever, whoever you're with. So check it out. Jesse Ware, really great stuff.
Yeah.
Another album that I just discovered that came out at the end of 2010, actually, but they're just sort of hitting now. It's a band called Milk Music.
The band is called Milk Music?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a punk band, it's not hardcore, but it's aggressive. It is
you know, I heard they're on tour with Cookies.
That is yes. If you had a band that had Cookie in the title, if you really, that would have been funny, but fail.
I couldn't resist.
But Milk Music, really good. If you like sort of punky music and it's aggressive. It's, you know, it's good, like, workout music or whatever.
Every time you say the word punky, all I can think of is Punky Brewster.
If you like Punky Brewster, you will love Milk Music. No, it's good. Check it out. The other album that I have been into is coming out next week. It's called Melodies. Echo Chamber is the name of the band. Once again, I don't know the name of the album, but I think it's her first album. And she's sort of a French chanteuse, which means singer.
I didn't know.
And
good music.
So yeah, it's sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It's sort of like, it sounds almost like French pop, but then there's this like guitar element to it.
Yeah, it was very
sort
unique.
Of like decay. So, like, the production's really interesting. Like, it turns into these, like...
I was trying to put my finger on it. I mean, it definitely has that French pop element, and, like, you feel kind of good, but there's, like...
And then it turns into this, like, sort of rock, like, alt-rock yeah. thing at the end of the songs. It's really
interesting.
Yeah, I'm really liking that.
People can listen to it streaming now, right?
It's streaming on NPR right now, so check it out. Like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I heard it, and I was like, oh, I haven't really heard anything like this. So
yeah, I'll throw up a link for you for anyone that wants to, and you can the NPR app. If you search for Melody or Echo Chamber, it'll come up in the NPR app, and you can listen to it on your phone.
So Jesse Ware, Milk Music, and Melody's Echo Chamber. Those
Jamie's
are my
picks for the week.
Those are my picks.
Always appreciated, Mr. Dooner. So now, food,
delicious.
Jamie D and I went to a meal together.
Yes.
Last week, we went to a brunch at a new restaurant in Los Angeles called
Milo and Olive.
Milo
Not
and Olive.
Milo and Otis of early 90s
movie
dog
fame.
Cat adventure fame.
Milo and Olive.
Although they should be playing that movie at all times there.
I think you're right. That would be amazing. It was... So this place is... Jamie and I are fans of the owners of this joint. They own a couple of restaurants around town. In Los Angeles, Rustic Canyon is one of them.
Which I ate at the first time last week.
How was it?
It was delicious.
Oh, well, we can talk about that too.
It was really good.
We'll
talk about it real quick. That was really good. That it's sort of the high end of all their restaurants.
Right.
I had a really good steak. My mom had good sea bass, or it wasn't sea bass, but something similar.
Yeah.
They probably don't serve sea bass. Anyway, and Lauren had a burger, which was amazing.
Really?
Yeah. And it was really good. It was I mean of all of their restaurants, it's probably the least to me, but it was still good, and I would go there anytime.
Well, it's the first of their restaurants, yeah. Actually. So they have Huckleberry, which is a restaurant that Jamie and I both love. The ice cream place, Sweet Rose Creamery. We've talked about both of those on the show.
Yeah.
So the owners and proprietors, Josh Loeb and Zoe Nathan, are the husband and wife team, I believe.
Yes.
Right? They're husband and wife.
Yeah.
Who operate these restaurants. So this is their, like, wood fire pizza place. Milo and
but
Olive.
We didn't eat pizza.
We went there for breakfast. I'll tell you, though. It was an awesome breakfast.
It was delicious.
It was great. What did you have, Jamie?
I had a breakfast sandwich, which consisted of a croissant, some arugula, a fried egg, and smoked pork belly. which was really more like, I sort of expected pieces, but it was more like a pork chop.
Yeah.
And then I had a little maple syrup on it. It was very good. Very, very good.
I had the I had sausage, grits, and eggs, and it was this house-made pork belly sausage.
The sausage that you had was the best thing.
It was incredible. Yeah. It was this house-made pork belly sausage was insanely good. Just, I'm trying to describe the flavor because it was very unique in the flavor, and I don't know exactly why. Whatever spices that, or herbs that they used in it, and I didn't ask, I don't know what they were, but really gave it this. Do you think there may have been some fennel in that?
Yeah, that's what I think. Though I think that's.
I'm pretty sure what that taste was, yeah. And I'm not a huge fennel fan, but in this, it made
it
all
was
the difference.
Fennel.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Which is also a. City in Vietnam.
No. and it had some braised greens on top, which were delicious. But the star of this, and like eggs on sunny side up eggs, were the grits, man. They had these creamy grits. They may have been the tastiest grits I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like sometimes you get grits and they're just bland and dry and there's not much.
Or like they're too soupy.
Yeah. This was a perfect, it was almost like a risotto. To be mm-hmm. honest with you, these grits were almost...
A grisotto.
I'm going to... That new restaurant, Grisotto's.
That sounds grisos.
But you tasted the grits, right? They were really good.
Yeah, delicious.
And then we... what?
Putting on the grits.
Dun, 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 dun. Sorry. And then we had a little desserty type deal, and I'm trying to remember what it was. It was this... it was the sweet cream brioche. And so it was, how to describe this?
This was just a fancy cheese Danish.
It was a fancy cheese Danish. But the filling was kind of like a creme fraiche almost.
It was like if Google Maps is a cheese Danish, then the sweet cream brioche is the Apple Maps 3D version of that cheese Danish.
I don't even know what that means.
You know what I mean? Because it was just sort of like a puffed up 3D Danish. Like Danish is
Okay.
Flat.
I see what you're saying. Yes, it was. It was really good. It was, to me, it was the perfect little topper to a nice heavy breakfast. You know, it was light. It was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Bakery by Zoe, who, you know, this woman just kills it with that.
I will
stuff.
Say I bought a loaf of
cinnamon
bread because my was my mom still in town?
She was just
coming. Was coming into town. Yeah. And, you know, she likes cinnamon bread, so I thought I would get it from a good bakery. You know, it was...
So-so?
It you know, it would have made great French toast, which I didn't do. But it was there was very little... The swirl was not as...
Thick.
You know, you want a good
swirl. You want
swirl.
That cinnamon and sugar taste.
The best part of cinnamon bread is the center, right?
Yeah, where it's like all cinnamon and sugar and like a little gooey.
There was not... The swirl was too big for that to happen.
Oh, that's too bad.
And
it was like too spaced out.
It was a beautiful piece of bread. It was, you know, there was nice and airy and fluffy, but the best cinnamon bread I have had, I think I got it at Whole Foods, and
really?
it was called the world's best cinnamon bread. It was not Whole Foods brand,
but it was the world's best cinnamon bread.
It's so good, man. If you're at Whole Foods and you find the special cinnamon bread, and that's saying a lot. You know who else has great cinnamon bread is Bristol Farms.
Really?
Bristol Farms, go in. They have this whole little section of cinnamon bread when you walk in, and there's like different kinds. There's some with like chocolate on it. There's And it's like their bakery specialty is their cinnamon bread.
Oh, wow.
You got it. There's some with apple in it.
Really?
Is Bristol Farms cinnamon bread.
That is good to know.
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
I expect Scott Gold within the next week to try some Bristol Farms cinnamon bread.
Jamie, there is a possibility that Scott Gold will try some Bristol Farms cinnamon bread in about 10 minutes.
And if you're there, just
green
check and see if they have green chili. They might.
This is true. Well, I think that rounds out our episode.
Sounds round.
I think that's all we got this week. Thanks for listening. You can check us out all over the interwebs. You know, we got the little iTunes, we got a little Facebook, we got a little website, we got a little Stitcher, we got a little any podcasting service you can think of, and we got a little Twitter at @ScottyG7,
BSTRD monkey, bastard monkey, but I don't really tweet that much.
Oh, before we end the episode, I just have to give a shout out to Jamie's wife, Lauren, who did me a huge service this week by immortalizing me in the words of her television show on the season finale of Awkward. So if you watch Awkward, look for my verbal cameo in the middle of the episode. And also the finale was awesome and killed it and set it up for a great season 3. So I'm Scott.
I'm Jamie.
We'll catch you next week.